time you take a sip. In this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer. And in the small there of your back, your jeans are playing peekaboo. I'd like to see the other half of your butterfly tattoo. Hey, that gives me an idea. Let's get out of this bar, drive out into the country, and find a place to park. 'Cause I'd like to see you out in the moonlight. I'd like to kiss you way back in the sticks. I'd like to walk you through a field of wildflowers, and I'd like to check you for ticks.
Yeah, baby, he wants to check her for some ticks. Welcome back. Thanks for riding through the break. Your host, Ray I. Matty G, running the controls, baby. The Vulgar Vogger. Mitch Norris has joined us here. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thank you.
And, of course, we've got Peanut here having a little Thomas coffee this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Wow, I love this cool weather. Y'all going to have a great weekend. Tomorrow's not supposed to get warm at all. It's supposed to be cool all day. Be a lot of fun. Wow, I had a great trip down to the Missouri Ozarks. Went down as most of you folks that do hunting have hunting places. You got to go get them cleaned up and cut brush and do things like that. We went down to the river, did a little swimming, cool off a little bit. But I wanted to tell everybody how bad the ticks are. We had to work on some tractors, guys. And ticks were on the tractor, on the tools, on the tires, on us, on the vehicle, on the dash of the truck. Unbelievable. In the Ozarks, the ticks. We're going to rename the farm the Hybrid Tick Farm. Now, you got to prepare, right? And I get messages all the time, and I can never pronounce it, so I've got two guys that are going to pronounce the best way to combat ticks. You know, we went through turkey season was bad, but they're really bad now. What's the name of it, guys?
Perithium.
Perithium? Vulgar, yep. Vulgar?
Permethrin.
What's
Permethrin.
It say? What's it say it does?
It's stable, a form of insecticidal compound produced by the chrysanthemum flower. It's commonly used to treat lice and scabies and ticks.
Well, I didn't know about lice and scabies. I hope we didn't have none of them.
Quickly in contact with soil and water. Yeah. How well does it work?
All right, here's how it works.
You use on clothing, and yeah, you spray this, it on your clothing.
I'm surprised the number of people that I talk to that have never heard of that you spray your clothing, leave them outside. I hang my clothes outside. I wore bib overalls and boots, of course, because we were working outside. I was fine. First day, I found a few dead ticks on me, but no ticks really on me. Marty didn't have no ticks. We worked out in the stuff. We was cutting brush and et cetera. Where I messed up was the second day that I didn't wear the bib overalls with the spray. And you spray your clothes, you hang them outside, leave them overnight, and you wear them, especially if you're hunting.
Right.
And it works. It's the only thing, you know, you can do DEET. I mean, I remember DEET when before it came out on the market back in the late 70s and early 80s, they called it mosquito dope. Because the guy, a doctor down in Alabama, had mixed DEET and cold cream and was putting it on us, and it wasn't on the market yet. That was the good stuff. But you rub it all over you, and then you got all the sprays and stuff nasty. But if you put this on your clothes, that takes care of it, and they don't get on you. The next day, I wore shorts and tennis shoes and was just basically following Marty in the Jeep. But I got out a couple places. Oh, my God. I had ticks between my toes. I had ticks in my nose. I had ticks on my head. I even had ticks on Frank and the twins. It was bad.
I believe it.
Ticks everywhere. And I took a shower and washed ticks, and I still had ticks. Man, I have never seen them this bad. And that's was my mistake going out there untreated like that. You can't do it this time of year. There's too many ticks. The weather was really conducive to tick growth. No question about it.
Each at-home treatment lasts roughly 3 to 4 weeks with washing.
See, that's cool. Let's see, I should have worn my bib overalls the next day. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm not going to get out of the Jeep. I'm following Marty while he's brush hogging, watching him. But that's some bad stuff. How about a little intro for our guy? We talked about some ticks. Let's talk about a little intro. Let's play our intro again. I love this song for Mitch. Here we go.
Catfish, boogie, woogie, boogie, woogie, boogie, woogie. Catfish, boogie, woogie, boogie, woogie, boogie.
Woke up this morning about 4:30.
What do you think, Mitch?
That's something else,
sorry. My ever-loving baby with a rod in her hand. For the creek called Catfish Land.
She You've been to Catfish Land?
Said, oh, yeah. Son, come along with me. Lots of time on the river and lakes.
Well, this last big batch of catfish, where'd you catch them? On a river?
On the Kaskaskia River with carp, Asian carp.
Asian carp. They got it. They're on the Kaskaskia now too, I guess.
They're everywhere. They're, you can't kill enough of them.
Yeah, there's too many of them.
Oh, you can't kill enough of them. There's so many of them. After the 93 flood, I've never seen a jumping fish before 94. After the 93 flood, it's been every year more and more and more and more.
Crazy.
Changed the river ecology all the way around. So yeah. It's
but you're still catching crazy. Catfish.
Now, oh, yeah. That's the only thing that can eat them.
Is a catfish.
Is because they grow bigger than the
Asian
carp.
Okay. Man, you catch some big fish. Tell us a little bit about how, your fishing methods there. That's what people want to know.
Well, basically, we do jugging and trout lining. We take the bow and arrow or the boat and go out in the river and catch some Asian carp. We can catch them with the bow and arrow, shoot them with the bow, or you can just drive in the rivers and get in the shallows, and they'll jump in your boat.
And that's an easy way. That's a lazy man fishing.
Yeah, but it's a messy way. You can't get the slime off you. It's a messy deal, but you got lots of bait. One carp will give you about 20 pieces of bait. So
that's your bait for your catfish.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is that a secret you've told today?
It's just not a secret no more, but it used to be.
Yeah, okay.
But it was the catfish can't get it off the hook, you know.
Okay.
And it's tough. You got to, when you're pick up your jugs in the morning, you got to take pliers and cut it off.
Okay. For listeners that's not familiar at all with catfishing or jugs, tell them what a jug is, what you're talking about.
Well, basically, people, they sell noodles in the store, but I'm too cheap to buy a noodle. So I get quart jugs from Jiffy Lube and that, and we power wash them out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to a truck tire place and get the wheel welds of the lead wheel weld balance, and we melt them down, make our own sinkers because I'm too cheap to buy sinkers.
Okay.
And then we buy circle hooks and 250-pound test line.
Wow.
We make our lines, and we run them anywhere from 5 foot to up to 11 foot long so we can fish different depths of the water.
Right.
So when they're going down the river, they're fishing different depths. You're not always suspended in one
good stuff.
Area. So
the jug is floating, and what keeps him in place? You got the lead you put in there?
The lead, it don't keep them in place. They float
move.
Down the river.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how do you catch them? How do you catch the jugs if they're floating down the river? What happens if they go to New Orleans?
You go down with them.
You go down with them.
Now, last weekend when we set them at 27 mile marker.
Okay.
And their last jug we picked up was at 17 mile marker.
Okay. Wow.
That's how
so
far
they
went
move
down.
With the current and the fish and okay.
Unless they get blowed up on the bank, you know. Once they blow up on the bank, you're going to catch turtles.
Okay.
But
so then what time do you go check the jugs? You put them out the day before and leave them all night, or what do you do?
Most of the time we put them out set them out when the boat traffic's off the river. And the skiers and the river settle down about 9 o'clock. We'll wait a half hour, then we'll go through them. Set on one end of them, wait a half hour, then go through them again. Pick up jugs as we rebait them. And we'll wait. We might do that twice at night.
Okay.
And then next morning, we'll get up in the morning, bright daylight, 5 in the morning. We'll go pick up our jugs, and we'll go downriver. We won't go upriver.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go downriver because that's where all your big fish will be.
Yeah.
Because once the fish gets on, he's going to go swim with the current
and keep
going downriver because he's fighting the jug and the river. So the first jug we picked up was 30-pounder.
Wow.
And the second jug was a 5 or 6-pounder, and the third jug was a 20-pounder. Then we caught a couple 40-pounders.
40, that's a big fish.
And then we caught some dinkers. 2, 3, 6 pounds, you know, like what I call dinkers, little fish.
Yeah, like the
we didn't keep anything under 4 pounds, so we didn't keep one fish under 4 pounds.
That's
so
amazing. What, Vogler?
How many pounds of fish did you catch?
359 pounds, about.
Catfish. That's good eating stuff.
But it took us 4 hours to do it.
how much fillets did you
talk in the microphone, Vogler?
How many fillets?
About 19 gallons of fillets.
19 gallons.
19 gallons of fillets.
And you don't care who you run with. I saw a picture of that long-haired dog, Adams.
And Don Nunnery.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Don, we was using Don's boat, and Mark Adams and me. But, yeah, we've been doing it for many years. Last weekend, we had an inundated with mayflies. I mean, mayflies, you couldn't, once it got about 10 o'clock at night, the mayflies came out, and once you turned the light on, you couldn't breathe.
There were so many mayflies.
Filled the boat up,
didn't it?
They died on the boat. We had a power wash boat. You could take your hand and scoop up 200 at a time in one handful.
That doesn't sound too exciting.
No, it was not fun.
It's okay, Peanuts. Somebody walked by the station door and she's not liking
it. And they don't taste very good. I don't know what the...
Salt and pepper don't work, huh? They don't taste very good,
but, you know...
How many years do you say you've been catfishing like this?
Since the 70s,
yeah, because I've always seen you with these pictures of these huge catfish. I saw some with you and Norb a couple years ago. You guys had a bunch of big fish. Now, you do trout lines as well as the jug
fishing? Trout lines. And the trout lines where I live in Arnold on the Merrimack River, you can catch 5 blue cat a night or 5 flatheads. You need to know the legal limits of what you can catch in the regulations. But on trout lines, you bait them with a big piece of fish, not a little piece of a worm. Yeah. Anybody who's fishing with worms going to catch a little fish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the little fish will steal your bait off before the big fish find it.
Okay.
And if you want to catch big flatheads, you need to fish in 2 and 3 foot of water. You don't want to fish in deep water. You want to fish in shallow water because the flats come in there after the live bait fish.
Okay.
So you need to use bluegill or minnows, shiners, something that's live because flatheads love live bait.
Yep.
You'll catch a small flathead, a 5 or 6 pound flathead on a piece of meat, but more than likely, if it's a big flathead, it's after live meat.
Okay. So that's cool.
Tell us,
driving down the road that's not familiar, what's a trout line?
A trout line is a twine line that is usually about 150 to 200 pound test line. You put a hook at every 3 feet to two. The minimum is 2 feet, but most people have it at 3 feet. Most trout lines in Missouri, the legal limit is 25 hooks.
Okay.
So, and you put an anchor at one end of it and tie it off to a bank or a tree limb or something.
Yeah, okay.
And stretch it straight out toward the river. But if the best scenario for if you want to catch fish is to try to keep it in 3 foot of water.
There you go.
And keep it off the bottom. So in the middle of the trout line, take and put a milk carton, tie a string on it, and keep it where it hangs the line off the ground, foot and a half off the bottom.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's floating and it's not getting stuck in the brush. So if a fish gets on it, it can't take it into the brush and circle it around.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. We got to go to commercial break, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a hold of Midwest Outdoors Television and ask them about shooting a television show on catfishing, jug fishing, and trout lining. You be willing to do that with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. We need to take a break. You was just listening to Mitch Norris. Great information, Mitch. Thanks for coming on. Tell us about catfish. Hang with us the rest of the show, okay?
No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to go to commercial break. Right, Vogel Wagner?
Yes. Catfishing, catfish fillets.
We talk catfish. We talk Ozarks. We talk ticks. Now we're going to go to the other side, baby.
The dark side?
That goes out to my great friend, Jim Anderson. See you on the other side, baby.
It's just not enough. I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, baby.
you understand.